You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It's Thursday. We don't call it Thursday.
It's not Thursday.
This is Friday Eve.
That's right. Friday Eve.
Is it Tuesday or Thursday that's your least favorite day?
Thursday. That's why it's Friday Eve.
But we fixed that with Boomer McQueen, though.
That's right.
We had to make it better. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you today. So you maybe just heard me say it at 3:30 today. It's Thursday. That means it comes down to my favorite time of every single week. Boomer and McQueen, the lovely McQueen, will join us. We will have that segment at 3:30 today. You're not going to want to miss it. I like hearing their opinions. And then at 4 o'clock, I'm pretty stoked about this. At 4 o'clock, Steve Thornton, the CEO of a company called Montesano Research, is working hard to save the Saturn rocket out at the I-65 rest stop. He's going to be on the show to give us the latest, talk us through the processes, and where he thinks it's going. So, yeah, that's 4 o'clock, Steve Thornton on the Saturn rocket being saved. So I got all that going on. I still got a triple dipper. Hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that we're going to run with on today's show. First out the gate, I'm calling it Living a Lie. You know, I find myself feeling sad sometimes for transgender kids, and I know that some people will take umbrage with that. It doesn't matter. I had a pretty good childhood despite some setbacks and some family issues here and there, but the reality is I had a good childhood. And I hate the idea that kids are not having that, but I also hate the idea that they're being told to go ahead and live a lie. And we're going to talk about that. Number one on the Triple Dipper, living a lie. Number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm just calling this, Mr. President, what's the plan? All right, what is the plan? What are you going to do about the southern border? You say you want to get reelected. What are you going to do about energy? What are you going to do about the different levels of policy that we have to deal with that come out of your administration? What exactly is the plan? Well, we're going to tell you where we think it's going or where the gaps are, and there's quite a few, so y'all stay tuned. Number two on the Triple Dipper, Mr. President, what is the plan? And then number three, yeah, and I know we got some attention on this when we started it before, but number three is save the rocket. Put an exclamation point on that. Save the rocket. I'm all for it. I'm a huge fan of history, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we can get done on this. Because I believe it's protected under law, but we'll talk about that with Steve Thornton in the 4 o'clock hour. So if you're interested in the rocket, you're going to want to hear that discussion. All right, let me move over to my comments here today, my opening. And I got to ask you, too, have you ever had one of those professors or instructors or classroom teachers at any level who were just, well, quirky? I remember my dad telling me he had a professor at the University of North Alabama, which was Florence State back then. He had this professor who used to pace and chain smoke the entire time nonstop during lectures while he's walking on a raised dais. Dad said it was almost unnerving because the guy would pace back and forth while staring at the ceiling and his toes would stop at the edge of the dais without ever looking down. But on top of that, he would chain smoke constantly. But what he did was he would take an occasional long drag off his filterless Camels and then never blow it out. Dad says it was as if the smoke just disappeared until a minute or so later, it would come wafting out of his mouth and nose while he was speaking, never blowing it, just letting it flow out on its own. He said it was really distracting and just super quirky. In my years of study, I've had some humdingers. I mean, here's one. In my sophomore year in college at the University of South Alabama down in Mobile, I was in an English literature class, and it was a decent class, but the professor was very quirky, almost jumpy. If you asked him a question, he would dart his eyes over to you like he was scared by your raised hand. So one day, we're discussing something to do with the Mayflower and the arrival of the Pilgrims. And he made the statement that after the original Pilgrims disembarked from the Mayflower, that it hoisted anchor to return to England, but that no one knows what happened to the ship after that. Well, I did. So I raised my hand, and I got the nervous jumpy look, like he wondered what I was up to. And when he called on me, I let him know that I had lived in England for several years, and I had visited the 260-year-old building that had been built from the Mayflower's salvaged timbers when it was scrapped. His response was to get all jumpy and nervous and say, well, I just don't know about that. And I responded simply, I said, well, sir, I was there. I mean, they even showed us the beam that was fractured during the Mayflower's voyage and repaired by the crew, something that, by the way, was historically documented. To which he replied once more, no, I just don't know about that. Talk about an awkward moment in front of the whole class, so I just shrugged and let it go. But after the class, just trying to be conversational, I was walking past him on the way out, I walked up to my jumpy lecturer, and I said something like, hey, sir, what I said earlier about the Mayflower, I mean, it's real. It was really something to see. And he avoided eye contact. He looked around. He said again, well, I just don't know about that. And he gathered up his briefcase and exited the room. Like I said, quirky. But in retrospect, looking back on that, what was likely happening was that a viewpoint of his was being challenged. And it was being challenged openly. And he didn't know how to respond. It wasn't a question about a syllabus material. I mean, I was not rewriting history or changing the base constructs of English lit. It was just a factoid about a sidebar comment. I was trying to be conversational, but yet I was a physical witness to something and tried to apply my reality to his quirkiness and was surprised when it was just rejected out of hand. Well, that's exactly what we see happening all around us in the world today. Today's progressive left does not just want you to see their version of budgeting or prioritizing as a better way. The progressive left is not interested in whether or not you have an opinion at all on anything. The progressive left does not want to debate an agenda or the finer parts of domestic or foreign policy, and it does not matter whether you are an actual witness to the events that are being bandied about in their public square. No, the progressive left actually just wants, demands, insists that we must deny our reality in favor of their version of reality. But that goes beyond mere quirkiness. In this case, it's actually dangerous. You see, when reality can be freely denied, it means that there are no absolutes. In a world that has no absolutes, then only those in power can get their way because truth is relative. In a world without absolutes, there can be no true justice because people cannot be held to account for their actions if their actions can merely be considered a product of their own truth. You can't deny me my truth. It's my reality. You're just trying to impose your morality on me. No, actually, we're just trying to keep a basis of truth from which to work so that we can know where everyone stands. You see, when truth becomes relative, then nothing is true and anything goes. I mean, do you feel like borrowing money from the petty cash at work without asking? Sure. That's not stealing. You needed it. That's just your truth. Can a grown man believe that he's really a little girl? Of course he can. That's how he identifies. Who are we to deny him access to the girls' room at the local gym? Is it okay to assert that the U.S. military is systemically racist? Yes. It fits the narrative that no one has witnessed, but since we believe it, we're in charge, and there you go. Racism. Is it all right to demand that every citizen take a vaccine or that children should be encouraged to cross the southern border alone or that we should outsource our energy production or that we should just shut down anyone who dares to not want an electric vehicle or, by the way, that road construction is needed to fix racism? Yes, 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 and yes, and yes. Because, well, you know, people with another worldview that denies reality that we're in say we should do all those things and more. But then it comes back to whether or not you have a principled view, one that you believe in, one that perhaps you are even a witness to. If you just want to be liked by those in power, then by all means, just go along to get along. That's easy. That's comfortable. But keep in mind what Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher once said. She said, if you just set out to be liked, you would be prepared then to compromise on anything at any time and you would accomplish nothing. She also famously asked the question once, do you think that you would have ever heard of Christianity if the apostles had gone out and said, I believe in consensus? Because you see, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they stood in front of those religious leaders who were demanding they deny the reality of what they had seen, deny that they had witnessed or experienced anything that challenged the status quo, to which Peter simply said, in Acts chapter 4, I cannot stop speaking what I've seen and heard. And then Peter and John went out and changed the world. They changed the world by sticking to what they knew to be true and refusing to accept the new version of reality they were being told to believe. And there wasn't nothing quirky about it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, yeah. So the deal is this. If they tell you something's true and you know it's not, you have a right to your own position. If they tell you something's true and you are a witness to just the opposite, tell them what you've seen and heard. But if you just go along to get along, you'll accomplish nothing. Every once in a while, we've got to remind them they can't just deny reality. And there are, in fact, truths. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Boomer, they're already wearing me out on the text line. Tony from Piedmont. Come on, Tony, give a man a break. I said the Saturn rocket. He's like, it's a Saturn 1B.
It's a Saturn 1B.
It's still a Saturn. Is it a Saturn rocket or is it a Saturn rocket? That's like saying I drive a Ford. It's a Ford Mustang. Yeah. I drive a Jeep. It's a Jeep Gladiator. What the frick? Okay, so I am sorry, Tony. You're right. I believe it is a Saturn 1B. There.
You said it.
He shall be texting me momentarily, feel certain. John from Huntsville, already complimentary about the monologue. Appreciate you, John, as always. Thank you so much. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. I'm going to want to know your opinions, by the way. Save the rocket or don't save the rocket. So just me personally, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of saving the rocket.
A fan. I'm totally a fan. I love that rocket. Who's the one that is it? John? Who is it that hates us talking about the rocket?
Was it either John or JT? I forget.
Maybe
which.
It was JT.
Yeah, somebody would go, not the rocket.
Not the rocket again.
I like it, man. But I also realize there's work to be done, right? Yep. And we're going to find out about that. We're going to talk to Steve Thornton. He's been neck deep in this. He's an engineer, I believe. He's also the CEO of a company called Montesano Research, and he's put a lot of his own time and energy into this. Got studies, got analysis of the refurbishment, and his position, I think, is going to be very solid and very practical. You know, one of the things I think he's going to wind up, you know, elaborating on for us is the knowledge that the amount of money it would take to take it down and replace it with something else could just simply be used to refurbish what's there right now and preserve an actual piece of history. I mean, how many of these are left in the world? I think it's like three. This is a piece of history. So, I mean, anyway, I don't know, man, but I just look at it. People are already texting in. Rita from Scottsboro just says, save the rocket. I agree. All caps. Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Rita.
Brandy from Athens. Badger and I say, save the rocket.
That's right. Brandy and Badger.
Yes.
That's right. That's a yes. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brandy. Who else is in there? Marcus from Huntsville says, my wife's family is originally from Illinois. They moved down to Alabama. When they would drive back and forth to visit, they would always pull over and stop. My father-in-law would hold each child up to touch the rocket nozzle. Wow. Underneath the rockets. It has a huge history with my wife's family. They're not even originally from Huntsville or North Alabama. That's just cool. I can see this is a landmark. If you guys,
it is.
Yeah. Who's some chucklehead somewhere doesn't want to deal with it is what's happening. I guarantee you, just chuckleheads.
Chuckleheads.
But then again, there's probably some of y'all out there that could care less.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. Will our lives change if the rocket is gone? Not necessarily. But isn't it great when you can point out history? And I think there's a lot to be said for what might be called old NASA. Old NASA was a bunch of guys with, you know, slide scales and you know, counting things on an abacus and scratching it out on a chalkboard and putting people on the moon. And the Saturn rockets are an example of that. And this is one of them. This is one of the few. This is one of the remaining pieces of history that people can actually walk up and touch. So I'm all for it. Oh, man, text message coming in. Steve from Huntsville says, iconic, save it. I'm with you, Steve. John from Brownsboro said, I had an instructor in college who was, oh, hang on a second. This is going back to my monologue. He said, I had an instructor in college who was obviously adverse to my views. It was creative writing. However, my syntax and punctuation was so spot on, he couldn't give me a bad grade, and it frustrated him to no end. Good for you. Michael from Taft, Tennessee. What's wrong with doing something like they did with the Saturn V by laying it on its side and putting a building up and around it? I don't know the answer to that question, Michael. I really don't. I think part of it is just the fact that you drive up and down the interstate and you see it for, you know, a couple of miles away, don't you?
You see it pretty far away.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what's cool about it. But they could do that too. Lay it down.
Jeff from Indiana, who drives past it every single day, says, save it. For God's sakes, don't let it get so bad looking before they paint it again. There you go. Somebody who did not identify themselves. So tell us who you are and where you're from. The numbers end in 04. Says, save the rocket. Appreciate you. By the way, if you want to text in, text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. But when you do for the very first time, text us, you know, you'll text the word right side. It gives you an automatic message back. And then tell us who you are by first name and where you're from. We'll plug you into the system, and you'll be in there with the scads of people that we've got in the system.
That's right. And you can also tell them about what's going on your Twitter right now.
Dang, boom.
There you go.
I like how you slid that in. So yeah, if you're on Twitter, so we are now streaming on multi platforms, but the latest one is Twitter, which, you know, we come to find is probably one of those that you're least likely to get taken down off of. But the show is now streaming in a variety of places. If you're on Twitter, go follow us at, Boom, the brand new one is RS Ruffian.
Yes, RS Ruffian.
Yeah, at RS Ruffian. But you can also follow me. I do a lot more of my personal stuff, plus this show, on mine, which is at Sin, that's S-E-N, at Sin Phil Williams. And follow it and retweet or rebroadcast the live stream of the show. And what's cool is it's also up there in perpetuity. So if you miss the monologue or an interview and you want to go back and get it, there's a show with you know, us sitting here in studio.
That's right.
Cool. Very cool. How many platforms are we on now?
We are on 5 different platforms.
You're the man.
It's pretty cool.
You're the man. All right. We got plenty of stuff laid on for you. Coming right back, we're going to jump into number one of the Triple Dipper, calling it Living a Lie. All right, so it's. I understand that there are people that are going to have different beliefs than me. I get that. I'm not even going to oppose the fact that they have a right to their beliefs. The question I have is, at what point should it be okay for those beliefs that fly in the face of science and reality to then be allowed to, you know, be perpetrated, pushed on, pressed down on those of us in the community who don't believe? Yeah, you can kind of figure where I'm going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.